Paphlagon's plate was clean. Lodigir hadn't even picked up his fork. Hunger at last succeeded, where throat-clearing, glares, exasperated sighs, and the unmasked departure of the servitors had failed. Lodigir fell silent, picked up his glass, and doused his flaming vocal cords. Paphlagon was eerily calm, almost jolly.
"If one were to examine a transcript of that, one would see an extraordinary and quite lengthy catalogue of every rhetorical trick in the Sphenic book. We've seen appeals to mob sentiment. No one believes in the HTW anymore. Everyone thinks protism is crazy. We've seen appeals to authority, refuted in the 29th century by no less than Saint so-and-so. Efforts to play on our personal insecurity. How can any person of sound mind take this seriously? And many other techniques that I have forgotten the names of, as it has been so long since I studied the Sphenix. So, I must begin by applauding the rhetorical mastery that has given the rest of us an opportunity to enjoy this excellent meal and rest our voices. But I would be remiss if I did not point out that Fra Lodigir has yet to offer up a single argument worthy of the name against the proposition that there is a Hylian theoric world, that it is populated by mathematical entities, Knoans as we call them, that are non-spatial and non-temporal in nature, and that our minds have some capability of accessing them.
Nor could I ever,
exclaimed Fra Lodigir, whose jaw had been working at an astounding pace during the last few moments to get a bite of food squared away.
You protists are ever so careful to frame the discussion so that it can't be touched by rational debate. I can't prove you're wrong any more than I can prove the non-existence of God.
Paphlagon had some infighting skills of his own. He simply ignored what Lodigir had just said.
A couple of weeks ago, at a plenary, you and some other of the Procyons floated the suggestion that the diagram of the Adraconic theorem on the geometer's ship was a forgery, inserted into Saint Orlo's phototype by Orlo himself or someone else at Edhar. Do you now retract that allegation?
And Paphlagon glanced over his shoulder at an astoundingly high-resolution phototype of the geometer's ship, taken last night by the largest optical telescope on Arbor, on which the diagram was clearly visible. The walls of the Messalin were papered with such. The table was scattered with more.
There is nothing wrong with mentioning hypotheses in the course of a discussion, Lodigir said. Clearly that particular one happened to be incorrect.
I think he just said yes, I withdraw the allegation, said Triss, back in the kitchen. I had gone back there ostensibly to fulfill my duties, but really to plow through heaps of more phototypes. Everyone in the convox had been looking at them all day, but we weren't even close to being tired of it.
It is such good fortune that this gambit worked,
Emin reflected, gazing fixedly at a grainy close-up of a strut.
You mean that we did not get rotted?
Barb asked, sincerely.
No, that we got pictures, Emin said. Got them by doing something clever, here.
Oh, you mean it is good fortune politically?
Carvel asked, a little uncertain.
Yes, yes,
Emin exclaimed.
The convox is expensive. It makes the powers that be happy when it yields discernible results.
Why is it expensive? Triss asked. We grow our own food. Emin finally looked up from his pictures. He was checking Triss's face in order to see whether she could possibly be serious. Over the speaker, Paphlagon was saying,
The Adraconic theorem is true here. It's apparently true in the four cosmi the geometers came from. If their ship had turned up in some other cosmos, the same as ours, but devoid of sentient beings, would it be true there?
Not until the geometers arrived to say it was true, said Lodigir.